You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Do that which you do. Spirit of God, honor our Lord. Honor thy word. Spirit of God, thank you. We think of our country, we think of the world, we think of Israel. God, here we are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, the last living apostle, and he's going to present, God is going to present himself in the Gospel of John, the 21 chapters, as God. He is the God from day one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the beginning and the ending. Now, the argument, as we read in chapter 8, as we came to the end of it, the argument is that Abraham, the Jewish leadership and people generally, we're trusting Abraham. We're trusting that they were the seed of Abraham. They were Jews. That was true. That they were the children of Abraham. That was not true. And their argument went back and forth as we did chapter 8. And each time the Lord built, each step of the way, the Lord built it up in the argument back and forth. Until we came to the last point. And we share together in the verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? You aren't even 50 years old, and you're talking about seeing Abraham, knowing Abraham. Now, how could that possibly be true? Such a ridiculous, stupid statement. And the Lord answered it at the end. This is the high as you go, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, when you see verily, verily twice, 25 times, book of Revelation, a book of John, when you see that, this is the 14th time, it arrests your attention, not just so be it, so be it. It is so. At the beginning, so be it. It is so at the end. Verily, amen is the word. Amen. Verily. Verily. It arrests the attention. And when he put two of them together, God said, think of John 3, Verily, verily, you must be born again. An absolute necessity. Verily, verily, verse 58, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham ever existed, not just he was, before he was created, before Abraham was ever formed, created, made, became, I am. Now, what did that mean to the Jews? Well, we looked at it last time. God is your name. I am. And we looked at it. I would like to take it again, since it is so little understood certainly by the world. And certainly by God's people. I am. Most people come and go in churches and out. Do you understand? He is I am. Jesus of Nazareth is the I Am. Now, in order to hopefully embellish that, give it some muscle, give it some ligaments, so it stays with you. What did you just say, God? I said that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And they were going to stone him quickly. They picked up stones and they couldn't throw them. He disappeared. Now, over if you would please, before we do that, over to Colossians again. Colossians in chapter 1. And just to have a reference, the Spirit of God is going to, in the epistles, is going to spell out that Jesus is exactly who he said he is. He is the I Am. And when you come to the letter to the Colossians, and if I may again pick up, I'll read verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Son in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible, immortal God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, before, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Before Adam was, I am. Verse 17. He is, not he was. He is before all things. He is, I am. And in John 8 and 58, I am, it's a present tense, I am continuing to be always who I am, always. I can be no other than who I am. Now, to try to help that, over if you would please again to Exodus chapter 3. Now remember, here is Moses, and God gets Moses' attention by way of the burning bush, Exodus 3, and in verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside Moses, God called him out of the midst of the bush, God was in the bush, and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. Here am I. I am here. I am. I am. And remember, in case I don't catch it here, that's what you're able to say. A chickadee doesn't say that. Kangaroo doesn't say that. Only you can say, I am. I am. I will. I ought. I am morally responsible, and I have a will. I am. Only you can say that. Moses said, understood, he is. He is Moses. That's right. Now, and sliding down now, and he, remember, Moses wants to be able to say, who shall I say has sent me to Pharaoh and the people? And in verse 13, Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. I am, I am. I am. I am. I became. I am. I exist. I show myself actively alive. I am. I always am. I can be no other than who I am. And thus in the process you would, if you read it in the Septuagint, I am the existing one who is, who he is, as he will be, the unchangeable, eternal, uncaused cause of everything. Nothing exists except I caused it. Wow. I am. There's nothing outside of me. I continue to be forever who I am, permanently, continuing in my existence. And my existence lies in and of and by myself. It is because I am who I am. There is nothing outside of me. Nothing at all. I am myself, all alone, who I am. I always who I am. I have no beginning, and I have no ending, none whatsoever. I want you to know my eternal essence, my wonderful person, is always who it is. Now, why is that important? I need to understand that. God, you said you I am, and always who you are, and everything is made by you, who is the I am. Now, over to chapter 15 of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. God is absolutely, eternally who he is. He can be no other than who he is. He is always who he is, no matter who, what, when, where. And if I can, in Exodus chapter 15, picking up, please, in verse 2 directly, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, here we are looking, and God, you're making it clear in Exodus chapter 15. You are who you are, always who you are. And being who you are existing, you are being who you are, and you are able to become all that you are. I am who I am, and because I am who I am, I become who I am. You know who I am by all that I become. You'll learn about I am by all that I become. I become because I am. Hang on to that. Now, so, Moses, what do you say? The Lord is my strength. Personally. He is my song. Personally. He has become. I am. And he has become. I have discovered him as my strength. I have discovered him as my song. I have discovered and realized him as my salvation. I have discovered him as my God. He is who he is. And because he is who he is, I am, then he is able to express the inner being of himself, his essence, his nature, his being. He's able to express that. And what are we to do in creation? We who live in creation. All creation is an expression of I am. We just read it in Colossians. We humans, I am, created in the image and likeness of God. I am. Moses said, here I am. How could you say that? Because he is present tense, no past, no present, no always present, no future. I am. Boy, that's different. You bet it is. Now you need to learn that. I am. The Jewish people in John 8 were failing to learn who he was. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. You are listening. I am. How can you say resurrection, life, peace, joy? How can you say that? Because I am. And since I am who I am, it expresses itself wonderfully out there that you can discover who I am. I will let you fill it in all of the wonderment of what I do. So you're going to learn of me. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, in God's wonderful, dynamic, vigorous, active, endless expression of himself, he can go from one thing to another. That's right. I am that I am. And in the process of all of that, so he is the living, his inner, as we shared, his inner expresses itself outwardly, and it shows itself. God is willing, looking, ready to be, I am. God said, I want you to discover who I am. How can we discover who you are? Let me show you I am being now, and I can become anything and everything because I am. And when you take that which I show to you, my strength, my song, my salvation, you bring it back, and then you discover there's an endlessness, an utter endlessness to who I am. I am the, as we shared, the ultimate one. Ultimate means there's no further to go and no sense in talking or saying anymore. But I'm beyond ultimate. I am. Ah, wow. Now, having said that little bit, over to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah and chapter, before we do 26, let's do chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. And in Isaiah chapter 12, picking up please in thought, and this is talking about the kingdom, the millennium, when he's reigning literally on earth. And I'll read verse 1 just for the context. And in that day, not this day, but that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Mine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. What are you going to discover in the kingdom? You're going to discover that Jesus Christ, the I am, God in the flesh, is going to be discovered to be I am. So when we look, if you were living in the kingdom and you were to go to Jerusalem, as it were, and here's our living Lord and his resurrected body sitting there, and in his resurrected body, if you would, you're going to see God. We're looking at the resurrected body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look, what do we see? We see that. Uh-huh. Who are you? I am. Here's the infinite, invisible God that's made all of this work and happen. And he expresses himself in the person that I'm looking at, in the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. I am. And when that happens, verse 2, chapter 12, he's my salvation. I'm not going to be afraid. He's my strength. He's my song. He's my salvation. He has become, he's going to become everything and anything that we need. Verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters, literally, out of the wells of salvation. In other words, in the millennium, you're going to enjoy being saved for 1,000 years. And in 1,000 years, you're going to have 1,000 years, and all of those years to discover what? That I am. Now, in year 910, you're going to discover what you didn't know in 420. It's an endless. I'm going to let you keep discovering that I am. And anything and everything, there'll be no need. I am. There are no wants. I am. Nothing's missing. I am. It's enough. It is. Now, having said that, chapter 26. And in chapter 26, picking up, please, in thought. Remember now, again, the millennium. In that day shall the song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bullocks. So what are we going to have to protect us? God's saving grace. That's how Abraham survived with 317 and whatever it is men as his army. He was rich. He was Bill Gates. He had everything. You could have, if you wanted to rob somebody, boy, he's the guy to rob. But no one robbed him. All the bad guys are around, but no one robs him. God said, I'll protect you. I'll put a hedge, like Job chapter 1. I'll put a hedge around you. Wow. So now, walls and bullocks, towers. Verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth truth may enter in. Verse 3, thou wilt continue to keep guard him in perfect peace, shalom, shalom, peace, peace, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, settled, imagination is resting down in thee, upon thee, because he is trusting in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Why should we trust in the Lord forever? For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He is the I am, Jehovah. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. Who are we trusting? We aren't trusting this person or that person, or this business or that business, this material or that material. We aren't hoping in this and trusting in that. No, we're looking to God. Who are you? I am. Now, when we look to you, God, where else do we look? Nowhere. Why not? I am. That's because I am. And I want you to know, in the millennium, you're going to rest yourself down. And when you rest yourself down in trusting me, put your mind down and rest it on me, who I am, and I will be who I am. Who I am. Always who I am. Hold your finger here a minute. I want to just make a note. I didn't mean to not do it. Exodus chapter 3 again. In Exodus chapter 3, may I go to verse 15. 3 and 15. God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. I am. I am. I am. And I am. I always am who I am. Forever. So now, back over to chapter 26 in Isaiah 26. And in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He becomes to you, you want to be strong in the power of his might? He will become. He is your strength. He is. He makes all of that possible. God is his own equivalent. He needs nothing and no one but himself for anything. God is everything all at once. He is. And he needs nothing, no one, no material. And the idiom, as you know, the idiom, the way to say it. I am all that is necessary for any and every and all occasions. I am all that is necessary for any and every and all occasions. I, in, of, and by myself. So, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, you got all these different things in our world and our needs, but when the believer is looking to God, Israel should have done it, but they didn't. Looking to God, there is no other God. There is no other Savior. Just you. I am. I got to get that straight. Simple. Wonderfully simple. Profound. Awesome. I am. Your God, your Savior, your Shepherd. I am. God. Everything I need. I am the God of all, like Sunday school, the God of all comfort. I am, too. I am your encouragement. I become to you all that I am. And as you learn of me, you're going to say and understand who I am. I always am who I am. Wow. Now, so, God, I am becoming, I am who I am, I am thus becoming to you, for you, through you, about you, I am becoming to you everything that is needed. No way, everything that is ever going to come, I am to you in all of this in a most marvelous way. Now, having said that little bit, now we'll try to go and just exercise a little bit and see it in action if we can. Now, we read in Exodus chapter 3, Moses would say, "Here I am, here I am." Now, in the light of God, it people that do business with you, how does it work out in the light of you are the I am? Over to Genesis in chapter 50. And in Genesis chapter 15, here's God dealing with Abraham. Remember now, the Jewish people, that the argument, Genesis 8, for Abraham is our father. But you're not his children. Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. I'm trying to, you're claiming Abraham. Abraham trusted me. Knew me as his God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham knew me as God. Now, how so? Chapter 15 of Genesis, in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward." Now remember, the Lot and all of that, kings of Sodom, they would have made Abraham richer than rich. But Abraham said, you remember, in the process, chapter 14, verse 23, that I will not take from a thread, even a shoelace, shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. Abraham, you rejected a handout free. You deserved it. You just gave them freedom. And you deserved the whole, all that they would give you. But you wouldn't take it. Boy,
Abraham, you lost out. No, Abraham was looking to God. Chapter 15, verse 1, God said, I will make you rich. I am your riches. I am your riches. I am. Not gold, silver, I am. What's so marvelous about I am your God? I am everything that you could possibly ever dream. You're trying to have things and do things and touch things and claim them. I am all that you need. Wow. I am the exceeding great reward. Wow. And Abraham, you don't need to worry about Isaac or anything. It's all going to work out because I am. I am. Now, Abraham, go with me, please, to chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make a covenant with ye. I'm going to make it all work out. Well, how's that going to be? Walk before me and have a singleness of heart. Give me your whole heart. And I will be to you all that I am. And all that I've told you will come to pass and become real because I am. Abraham, do you realize you trust me for who I am? And I will become all that I am. All that I am to you. To the people of Israel. John chapter 8. I am. And they tried to stone him. Now, chapter 22. Chapter 22. Picking up, if I may, in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did test, put to the proof Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. That's what he said. God, here I am. Here I am. For all that you are. Here I am. And in the light of that. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. So you're going to go all the way down there, and you're going to go and take Isaac up, and you're going to go and sacrifice Isaac, and you're going to do it. I am, I am, I am. And in the process, verse 10, and Abraham's up in the mountain, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay the son, Isaac, and the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And what did Abraham say? Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. This is what I'm doing and whatever. No, he said, here I am. Because of who you are. Because of who you are, God. You be to me who you are. I'm here. I am for your I am. For you to be to me, God, on your terms. Wow. Here I am, God. Here I am. Do you remember Samuel? Samuel, you may want to turn there just for the sake of doing it. 1 Samuel, and in chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The little boy had the right attitude all the way down, and that's where he lived. He lived in the temple. No one else lived in the temple. He lived in the temple. He did. What a privilege he had. He lived in the temple. Wow. And in the process, verse 3, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep there. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "And Samuel, you little boy, did you have the right attitude? Here am I." Here am I. Just think, if someone called you in the middle of the night, here I am. What can I do? I am your servant. Here I am. And he's going to say that, verse 5, verse 6, verse 8. He's going to say, here I am. And then he's going to be told, verse 9, "Wherefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call upon thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And so Samuel went and laid down in his place." And verse 10, "And the Lord spoke, and he said, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." He's got the right approach. God, you are who you are in the light. I remember without turning there in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, God said, "Who will I," and Isaiah just got through saying, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. In the light of the holy seraphim, holy, 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 and God, here I am, and you're holy, and I'm me. Who am I?" And God cleansed him. And in that place, God said, "I need someone to fulfill an assignment to Israel." And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Here am I." God, here we are, the middle of the day, and here I am. And here you are. Wow. 2 o'clock, here I am, and here you are. Whatever's going on, but God, I am, and you are. And so therefore, I'm going to look to you, your awesome, wonderful presence. I am. I'm here, and you're here. Who's here? You are. I am. I am. Wow. Now, over if you would please, in your Bible if you would, over to Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, you're familiar with it, but watch how it works out. Psalm 18, picking up please, in verse 1. David, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is," verse 2, "the Lord is my personal rock, my personal fortress, my personal deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." Remember Isaiah 26? "I will trust. You are forever who you are. You are I am. You are my buckler, shield, and my horn, my offensive, defensive weapon. You are my salvation and my high tower, my God. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." God, you are all of this. The Lord, David will say in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." You are. You are. You always are. That's right. See? I'm going to be to you. I want you to discover who I am. I am. I'm going to become to you all that I am for you to know me. I am. Where does it end? It never does. That's why heaven, among other things, is so glorious. Why? Because it never ends. What's so wonderful? God never ends. So God in forever. God forever now. Here I, you say, "Oh boy, what am I going to do in heaven?" Don't ever say that. You'll be shocked to pieces what you're going to do. Now, here we are, God, and you're endless. I am. So forever, that isn't even a good word. Endless, timelessness, eternity. You are eternity. You are heaven. When does it end? Never. So when do we stop discovering who you are? Never. Never. Hang on. Now, Psalm 18, verse 16. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, 18 and 16. Verse 17, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. God, it's a wonderful exercise, an awesome exercise. That's right. Go with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, picking up again, I'll read verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Verse 14. Because he, the believing heart, has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wow. So as you keep reading page after page of your recorded word, what have we got? God, you keep demonstrating who you are. And the believing heart trusted you, and you came along and were everything they needed. To Job, you were everything he needed. Wow, what a wonderful thing. Isaiah 40. No. Psalm 40. Isaiah 40 is good. Don't get me wrong. Psalm 40. And I'll take that which you are familiar with. Psalm 40. David, would you help us some more? Okay. Verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. The Lord said, trust me, I don't change, I always am. Shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor as such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, and which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in number, in order unto thee. If I would declare them and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So, God, you are I am. You are being who you are. And you're going to become what? I'm going to become. So here I am, God. Here we are. Here's the believing heart out there, Israel. And here we are today. And God, your thoughts. And you know without turning there in Isaiah 55, my thoughts and my ways are what? Higher than the heavens. See? So, now, you want to know my thoughts? They are more than the sand of the sea. Now, when do you think you're going to exhaust who I am to you? I am to you. When are you going to exhaust my I am-ness to you? More than the sand of the sea are my thoughts to you. So what are we doing? Well, God, Israel just missed it. The church, dear believers, miss it. God, help us not to miss it. Help us not to be little whatever we are. God, you are who you are. I am. I am. I am. Who I am, frail vessel of dust, I am, I am that. And you are God, my God. You're my I am. Wow. Our Father and God, deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. God, we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss it. God, deal with every boy, girl, man, or woman that they truly, truly be saved and know you. To know you is life eternal. To know you, the only God and the only Savior. The I am, and there is none other. There is no one else. There is nothing else, God. Just you. Wonderfully you. You have no competition. There is none your equal. There is no God, no religion, no philosophy. All of history and all of creation is but a nothing in the light of your wonderful person. God, thank you very much for your coming in the person of Jesus Christ and dying on the cross. Thank you very much that we could be introduced to you through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we'd be able to come to know you as our Lord and Savior, that would be able to be called children, sons, saints, set apart ones. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can sing, please. 408. 408.